Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
It is the Christmas season, and that means that not only do we sing Christmas songs and put up wonderful decorations and make it all feel festive and thanks to the Lord for putting snow on the ground, which actually also makes it feel more Christmassy. What it also means is that we're going to spend just a few minutes each service looking at Advent and talking about a specific topic each week. This week, we are looking at hope. And as we look in the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Advent always begins in the dark. The arrival of Christ brought light into a dark world. And this passage reminds us that God's people, right, the Israelites, for centuries waited, longing for the light that they couldn't see. And as we look at hope, right, we understand that hope is not just wishful thinking, as, you know, I hope I get a pony for Christmas, right? It's not that type of hope. It is the confident anticipation that God keeps His promises, even when it seems like the night is never ending. That's hope. And as we observe the first candle that would be lit on this Advent season, we join generations of people who dared to believe that God would break into our world and erase the darkness with His incredible light. And that's exactly what He did through Jesus. And so as we sing these Christmas songs, as we enjoy this holiday season, we have hope. So this week, look to Jesus in the midst of dark times, because darkness is still out there. But for those who know Christ, we are in the light, and we can stand firm on the truth of the promised one who came to bring the true light into darkness. Let me pray for us. Father, as we open your word, may we have that true understanding of the hope and the light that you have brought into this world through Jesus Christ. Father, we understand darkness. In fact, many of us, we understand that because of difficulties and struggles in this life and with family. And so as we open your word and see the truth of it, I pray, Father, that we would understand that your light can always be stood upon. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we give you great praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So over the last 3 weeks, this is the final week of our Family Matters series, we've been talking about matters of the family because family matters. And that's the last time I'm going to say it. Okay, so if you're already tired of it, sorry, but I won't say it again. But it's true. We can forget that as we go through life, that the matters of family are so important to God, not just to us, but to our Heavenly Father. And He has built around us this understanding that of a spiritual family, that we as believers, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a part of God's family. And that's not just a cute saying. That is what Jesus has taught us. And what we're going to open up in the Word today is seeing how Jesus lived that out, that understanding, with what is kind of a difficult passage, honestly. What we know is that every family has moments when expectations collide, when you're trying to follow Jesus as best you can and at the same time follow the family's expectations. And somewhere in the middle sits this tension that we all feel of where do we move, where do we slide on that scale of loyalty? How do we love our family well while staying faithful to Jesus first? For some of us, it all goes hand in hand, right? Like I was blessed to grow up in a family who knew Jesus, who worshiped Jesus, who loved Jesus and put Jesus first. And so there wasn't ever that tension of trying to do to follow Christ, but also to follow the family expectation. And thankfully, I married a woman whose family was even greater at doing that. And so, you know, when 2.5 years ago, when we were called to move to Michigan and we told our families, you know, there's a little bit of a tension. Hey, we're about to move 1,300 miles away where, you know, you aren't. And there was a small thought in the back of my mind that they might say, are you crazy? What are you thinking? We're all here. Nobody's there. But that wasn't the case at all in neither of our families. They supported it. They supported it wholeheartedly, understanding that the call of God on our lives is something that we must be obedient to first and foremost. And so not only did our biological families support us, but the spiritual families that we had grown up with for so many years supported us wholeheartedly in this journey as well and made it possible for us to come here, right? The family of God that we were about to walk into here made it possible, as did the family that we were leaving behind, because they understood what the proper spiritual priorities needed to be. But that's not always the case. For others, the deepest misunderstandings regarding our faith decisions have happened and been felt within the context of the home. And for the loudest pressure to conform, it really comes from the closest relationships that we have. And Jesus understands that tension better than anyone. And what we're going to see today in the book of Mark in verses 31 through 35 is him walking through that tension, that family tension, when priorities are pulling you in multiple directions. But before we really look at that incident, I think it's very important that we look at the context of what Jesus found himself in verses 31 and 35, right? In verse 20. In Mark chapter 3, it says, one time Jesus entered a house and the crowds began to gather. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. Now this is shocking, right? If you haven't read this story and you haven't understood this, you're thinking, why would his family be pulling him away from the work that he has been set out to do? He's doing all of these incredible things. How could they ever think that he was out of his mind? Well, think of it from this perspective. He wasn't eating. He wasn't taking time to stop and properly nourish himself. And in that culture, that was a huge thing. Listen, that's not to say, listen, coming off of the Thanksgiving weekend, obviously, it's a big thing in our culture too. But to work without eating certainly looked odd from their perspective. And he was exhausting himself. He was working because of the crowds. He was working nonstop. He was healing people and teaching people. And then he was surrounded by these desperate crowds. He was allowing people to crowd in on him and demand so much of him. And not only that, right? You can maybe understand all of those things, but on top of all of that, he was making enemies among the religious leaders because he was teaching counter and calling them out of what they had put out as the truth. He was laying down a new truth, God's truth. And so his family was genuinely concerned. But what we recognize now is they were just truly confused. And as we often see, their concern turned into control, which is very typical within a family situation, that when you're concerned about the behaviors of one of your family members, the easiest, most logical step is to control their behavior to bring them back in line with what is normal. And so that's what we see them do. They say, we're gonna show up, we're gonna take him home. Everybody's gonna understand it because we're family and family's first. And so we're gonna take him home because he's not thinking clearly. He's out of his mind. And don't miss this. Even Jesus's own family, after everything that we'll look at on the Christmas season, after everything that happened, they still didn't understand his calling. In fact, we know through later chapters in the New Testament that his brothers and sisters didn't even follow him, didn't even believe that he was the Christ for quite some time. But maybe you're in a similar boat. You're sitting here and you're thinking, I'm following Jesus with everything that I am. I'm trying to, but I'm being pulled in so many directions because my family doesn't understand this calling that I have. Maybe they don't understand the pace that which you've been called into in obedience, or your priorities, or your mission that we've all been given for Jesus, from Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples of all nations. And if so, then rest assured that the Son of God, that Jesus Christ himself, understands exactly what you're going through. Because the misunderstandings in his own family were a stress on him. And so it's not a failure on your part. It's not abnormal even. Jesus, though, of course, shows us how to walk through with grace this incredibly difficult circumstance. So let's look at verse 31 as Jesus redefines family. It says, then Jesus' mother and brother, so what happens is they come, they say, we're taking him with us, he's out of his mind, and then we have this little interlude here where Jesus kind of gets into it with some of the teachers of religious law. And they accuse him of things, and then we jump to this passage here, where his mother and brother came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. Now, this wasn't a friendly visit. They weren't just coming to say hello and join the party. This was an intervention, right? If they'd had banners at this point, they would have put up the banner. This is your intervention. You need help, and we're here to help you. Their message was essentially, stop what you're doing and come with us. They were truly trying to pull him away from what we know as his mission. And definitely they weren't pushing him towards it. And Jesus takes this opportunity to create this incredibly teachable moment that now echoes across generations. It says, Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked at those around him and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Now, this can be very easily misunderstood, and I don't want anyone to be a little bit twisted in their gut right now as they're reading this, going, how could Jesus treat his family that way? And let me assure you, Jesus is not being disrespectful here. And he is not saying anything negative about his mother or his siblings. But what he's revealing is this deeper truth that following him, following Jesus for us, forms a spiritual family that is just as real as our biological family. And sometimes our spiritual family is even more supportive than our biological family. So what I want us to understand overall today is that God calls us to love our biological family deeply, but to be ultimately defined by our spiritual calling. And it's easy to say this. It is easy to put this on the screen in a nice, tight sentence. It is really, really difficult to live this out, to understand the truth of this, to as Jesus did with grace and clarity, to walk this path, to deal with this tension. And it's important that Jesus is not dismissing his family here. What he is prioritizing his kingdom, prioritizing the kingdom of God. And we have to be very careful not to read this as Jesus devaluing his own biological home. Because we know through Scripture that Jesus cared deeply for his family. When you read the account of Jesus going to the cross, he honored his mother at the cross. He gave her a son who would care for her, which in that culture was incredibly important because as her oldest son was about to go and die, she would have been left completely abandoned. And he blessed her, thought of her, and gave John to her. He grew up in a home. We know this. He grew up in a home that valued Scripture and taught them to him. That wasn't ever a question. He lived 30 years very quietly amongst his family, working in the family business as a carpenter before beginning his public ministry. But here's the key. This is what he understood, and this is what we all have to understand, that our biological family is a temporary gift. Our spiritual family is what is eternal. Your earthly family is certainly important. I'm not telling, especially teenagers, I'm not telling you, because you're always looking for an opportunity for this, to go home and be like, I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm only listening to the Father. You can't say it, because we both know. That's just rebellion. Your earthly family is incredibly important, but your kingdom family is ultimate. Why? Because only that spiritual family lasts forever. And only that spiritual family is what will lead us towards fulfilling the mission and responsibility that Jesus gave us to this world. To all who would say that they would follow him. Our mission is to go and make disciples. No matter what the cost. And what a blessing it is when our biological family and spiritual family line up. If that was the case all of the time, there would be no need for this message. There would have been no need for Jesus to take time out of his teaching to give us this truth. But unfortunately, that is not the case. So what do we do when our family doesn't understand our faith? Some of you, again, know this pain well. And you know this line of questions that you get, right? Why do you give so much time to the church? Why do you give financially to the church? Why do you read your Bible so much? Why do you pray so often? Why have you changed the way that you act so much? Why don't you just do things like we've always done, right? Those are the questions that we constantly face when there's a tension between our biological and spiritual family. And sometimes that pressure that we feel, it's subtle, right? It's just a laugh. Maybe it's a sarcastic remark, or the old standby is a good guilt trip. Or maybe it's more direct. You're going to church again? Oh, you're brainwashed. What about us? You spend all your time with the church family. What about us? It's in these moments that we really need to remind ourselves that Jesus understands that pain. He lived through it. He gets it. And in Mark chapter 3, he gives us permission to prioritize God's calling over human pressure, even family pressure. And again, this is why this passage is such a tough one to walk through. Because that's tough. The draw of your biological family is built in. And yet Jesus is saying, you have permission to follow me first, to be committed to me first, because that is your calling. That is your act of obedience. Once you follow Jesus, you know that you have been brought into something bigger. You've been brought into a family that has been defined by grace, that has been united by the Spirit, a family that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and a family where every tribe, tongue, and nation belong. That's why the church matters. That's why this group of people matter. And it's not an event, it's not a building, it is a people, a spiritual family that walks with you, even if your biological family cannot. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That is an incredible truth for us who are having to walk through this life without the support of a biological family that doesn't believe, that doesn't understand the faith of Christ. Paul adds to this truth in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Notice there's two things here. He says we need to do good to everyone, but especially the family of faith, your spiritual family. We don't choose between them. We prioritize rightly among them. That's the important thing you need to understand. We are called to do good in our homes, to serve our parents, to love our children, of course. We are called to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ and carry one another's burdens, to strengthen one another and to walk with one another through the struggles and celebrations of life. That is an imperative. And we need to understand the priorities. It's easy to say, well, I love God, I love my family, I love the country, all those things, but what do your actions say? When you are facing tension, when you're facing even persecution, what do your actions show where your faith actually is? Jesus stood up against that. And without disrespecting his family, he brought all of us into that family of God. And that is powerful. So here's what I want you to do as we take steps forward in our faith family. The first thing is to lean into our spiritual family. Lean into your spiritual family. Join a small group. Serve on a team. Work at an event. Yeah, all of those are great. Whatever it is, take a deeper step into your spiritual community. Don't try to walk alone. That's not the design by any stretch. And the second thing I want you to do is to truly pray for your biological family. Pray for them by name, especially the ones that cause you the greatest tension. Especially the difficult ones. And I want you to do one more today, right? We've been given a wonderful gift today as we lean into what God has called us to do. I don't have this one on the screen because I just, you know, I didn't know it was going to snow. Reach out to somebody that you know is not here. They might need some help. And if you're online and nobody reaches out to you and you're snowed in, give us a call. We'll send people out, okay? We want to make sure that we're taken care of. I want this to be a place where you know you can lean on the people in the family of God. Whatever the need, great or small, we are going to do everything that we can to make sure that your needs are met, that you know that you're loved and that you're part of a family. Now, we're not going to enable you, right? A good family knows that enabling's no good. But we are going to walk with you as you grow in your faith. That's why family matters. Mark chapter 3, Jesus isn't rejecting his family. He is inviting us into his family. Your family matters deeply to God. But the family that you are part of through Jesus Christ is an eternal family. So love your family well. Love the family that God placed you in through biology. Love them very well. Walk with them. Show them what you believe. But stand with your spiritual family faithfully as well. And trust that God can use both to shape you into the image of his son. This is why we took 4 weeks. This is why I wanted to take 4 weeks to go over family matters. It's why it's so important to do this regularly, to kind of bring us back to the proper understanding. Because in nature, we're going to drift. We're going to allow ourselves to be pulled back into the family expectations and away from what Christ has called us to. Because it's easier. It makes sense. And it's good, right? No one's going to argue with that, except that as a Christ follower, you are called to something greater. And I want us to just reflect on where we've come over the last couple weeks. We've talked about how this process of discipleship in the most intimate places of our lives within our family is so important. Family is one of God's greatest gifts, and it's also one of his greatest tools for shaping us into his image. Healthy families don't happen by accident. They happen when Jesus is truly first. So if you want to lead your family into the faith of Christ, then you need to model that priority well. Without giving in to society's pressure. We're not going to get everything right. No family is perfect. We don't need to try to create the perfect Instagram image. We're not magically going to just be perfect. That's not the way that it works. But we commit to putting Jesus first in our families. When his voice matters the most in your family, when the word guides you day by day, when his mission becomes our mission, when his love is practiced at our home and in our church and in our community, that is when we will find the greatest purpose and the greatest families that God has set us perfectly within. I am so thankful for my biological family, of course, but also my spiritual family. Because God is orchestrating something incredible that I hope you're excited about. Because I'm excited about every day that I wake up, I'm so thankful and I pray for God just to continue to build and to bond and to grow this family so that we can be everything that he has called us to be here in this community and beyond. So let me pray for us as we wrap up today for our families and for this church. Father, thank you for our families. God, for the ones that we were born into, thank you. And God, we give you great praise for this incredible family that we have been born again into, our family of faith. Father, I pray that in each family situation, that you would heal what is broken. God, that you would strengthen what is weak within us. Restore what's been lost over the years. And God, help us to make Jesus a priority, the true priority in all of our homes, in all of our relationships, as we walk into this incredible future you have for us. God, shape us, mold us into who you want us to be, a people that love you first and foremost. We thank you for Jesus' model. We thank you for his words. And we give you all the praise and the honor that you're due in the powerful name of our Savior. Amen.
We're going to close this morning with somewhat of a benediction, you might call it. And it's not something we do a lot of, and it might be something that seems a bit foreign to you. But I think especially for this close to this series and what we've heard today, it really fits. So what I'll do is I'll sing through a little bit of this song. It's taken right from Scripture. And then I'll invite you to sing with me. You can sing the whole time if you already know it. But what it is, we're singing a blessing over each other, over our families, over this church family. And it's a really powerful thing if you keep in mind what we've just heard, and if you look around this room and see all the different people that are right here in your spiritual family, to sing this song over them, asking the Lord to bless them, keep them, and make his face shine upon them. So let's stand together, and if you don't know it, we'll learn it together here this first time through. It goes like this.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
That verse again. Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Favor
be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and your children and their children.
Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
My prayer for each one of you this morning and as we leave this place. God bless you. Have a great week.